Well, we also greet you in the name of Jesus. It's good to be here together. Food for thought. Then sometimes we don't think God can work amongst people like that. But He does in ways that we don't understand. But He does. Dana had asked who gets the Asia harvest. I'm going to ask who gets the Anabaptist voice. Oh, quite a few of you do. Very, very good reading in there. I read, I think for the second time, actually, the article in there about the dire need in Venezuela. Venezuela has some of the richest, purest crude oil in the world. They were a very, very wealthy country. The oil supported them. People didn't have to work very hard. But now, and I'm not sure of all the reasoning, but people are poor. They're immigrating to other countries. Then the one thing that caught my attention there was, just imagine we in the United States, you and I this evening, try to imagine the plenty that we have. We finally are down to almost nothing. They said I forget all the details. Something about I don't know, was a day's or a week's wage would not even buy a loaf of bread anymore. Imagine now for us here this evening, getting rid, selling everything we have, everything we own, packing a few bags, and walking to Mexico to look for a job. I can't imagine that. The people in what's the country? Russia and Ukraine. The Ukrainian people are in somewhat that same situation right now as well. So yeah, lots of needs. Well, I was going to ask the question, but the question does not even need to be asked. We all fall on difficult times. We all come to places where sometimes we say, I don't know what to do. Decisions and choices need to be made. Situations arise that we just kind of shrug our shoulders. What does God want me to do here? What we don't know what to do when you don't know what to do. We'd like to look at a few scriptures and then a few, I believe, Bible principles of how to respond when we really don't know what to do. I'm going to start by reading a few verses in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. It says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, even when we don't know what to do, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. I think that is really key to what we're going to look at here this evening. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Maybe not immediately, maybe not tomorrow, maybe not next week, but eventually God will give us direction. He does not leave his children hang in limbo, how shall I say, for an extended period of time. Maybe that's not even the right language, but at least not forever. God does lead his children. Often we face things that we do not feel equipped to handle. The problems of life have us broken and bruised. Pressures rise and we lose kind of all sense of direction. Those of you that travel have been there. Not too long ago, I thought I knew how to, I had delivered my load and I thought I knew how to get back out, but I missed one turn. And finally I said, this is not right. This isn't the way that I thought I was going to get out. I had lost my sense of direction, north, south, east, and west. Doesn't happen to me very often. I try to keep my bearings about me, but it did. And I had lost my sense of direction. And people say, I just don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. Don't know which way to turn. And so we want to look at some suggestions of how we might address some of these things. And several Bible examples came to my mind. I don't think we need to turn to this, but in 2 Kings 6, that was a situation where Elisha and his servant were hiding from the king of Assyria. The king of Assyria said, "Who's against me? Who is telling Elisha where I am?" And some of his men said, "Elisha knows. He knows what you say in your private bedroom. He knows." And so, anyways, the king was after Elisha. And they came. Somebody told him, he said, "Well, you go." He sent some people to find out where Elisha was. And they came back and said, he's in Dothan. So he surrounded the city. And the servant got up and said, early in the morning. That leads me to believe that the servant was very concerned. He knew something was amiss, something was not right. So he got up early and he saw this host surrounding the city. He came back to Elisha and said, "Alas, my master, how shall we do?" He didn't know what to do. And of course, we know the rest of the story where Elisha prayed that they would be blinded, and it was. They were delivered. And so, you know, it may not always happen as dramatically as that, but God does take care of His children. Thought of Jonah. He probably thought, too, what shall I do? I'm just going to end it all. Just throw me overboard and it will all be taken care of. Well, we know that story as well. The disciples, scriptures tell us after the crucifixion, says they all forsook Him and fled. What are we going to do now? Our master is gone. Our teacher is gone. I'm glad that they also found their bearings and came back and carried the gospel on. Saul, before he became Paul, on the road to Damascus, God spoke to him. Then he was struck with blindness. I'm not sure exactly there. Scripture does tell us that he received this commission to go and preach. But he probably thought too, how am I going to follow your leading, Lord, if I can't see? How am I going to do this? What shall I do? And God took care of that as well. And something I've thought about a lot, and I want to get a book. There's a book entitled, When I Lay My Isaac Down, I think something similar to that. I'd like to read that book about giving up your most beloved possession. When I Lay My Isaac Down. Abraham was a friend of God. As he went up the mountain, Isaac said, "We have fire, we have wood. Where's the sacrifice?" You think Abraham also thought, "God, how is this going to turn out?" But he was faithful. I don't know. I would have to say, this evening, I don't think that I could do that unless I had very clear direction from God. Of course, we know that we don't offer human beings in our time anymore. What would I do? What would you do if a God asked you to lay your most prized possession, give it to Him? 1st point I have is walk closely with the Lord. When these times come, walk closely with the Lord. Maintain daily fellowship with Him. Lynn talked this morning some about conversing with Him. Not just on Sundays, not just in the morning, the evening. I believe that we as God's people, I should be walking with the Lord in such close communion that at any moment I could say, God, what do you want me to do here? That the communication line is always open. We can talk to Him just as you would talk to another person. You can talk. Bible reading, prayer, walking with Him daily, hourly, moment by moment. Make it a habit to turn all your problems to God, even the little things. You can't get a nut loose. You can't find something. Even the little things. God wants to be involved in our life, in every aspect of our life. Talk with Him. Tell Him what you lost. Tell Him that the drain is plugged. Tell Him it's just not going as you planned. Tell Him just everything. God wants to be your friend and walk with you side by side and take care of your problems every day. So walk closely with the Lord. Take the matters to Him in prayer. We've already mentioned prayer. Don't ever do anything without His guidance and direction. Now, we could take that to extreme and say, God, should I brush my teeth tonight or not? We know we should. But look to Him for your guidance and direction. If we don't, that's just asking for more problems. The prodigal son, we don't read anywhere where he consulted with God before he left home. He said, I'm going to go. I'm going to leave. Did not consult with God. And we know the problems that he ran into. Don't fail to do what he shows you that you should do. In other words, obedience. Always. Not just when it suits you. Or not just when what God tells you agreed with what you might think. Abraham might have thought to himself, God, this just does not make sense. And it didn't from our perspective. But I'm going to go through with it. I'm going to follow your direction. Don't fail to do what he shows you that you should do. Don't try to figure things out on your own, by yourself. The latter part of verse 5 says, and lean not unto thine own understanding. Now this as well, we can take this to extreme. If we try to figure things out on our own, we are more than likely just asking for more problems. Without His help, it's no use. I remember, and I related this to the group here, when I was, working on my truck anyways, and I could not get it. I worked and worked and worked, an afternoon and a morning, I think it was. My clutch linkage broke, but it was way up in. I couldn't get to it from the bottom or from the top. It's very difficult. And I said, God, I need your help here. This thing is not impossible, but I need your help to know what to do, how to take care of this. We kept plugging along and we finally got it. But we need to ask God. Don't try to figure things out too much on your own. It's not wrong to use your own reasoning as long as it isn't your reasoning alone. Trust God. Our reasoning must be in submission to God's will, and our reasoning must be based on Bible principles. Don't try to figure things out on your own or just by yourself. Submit yourself and your problems to His will. Be willing to submit to His will, regardless of what His will should be. That's scary. Again, just like Abraham. That's scary when we say, God, everything I have is yours. Are we really, really willing to do that? If God should ask us to sell out and move to some other country, would you do it? Would I do it? To obey, the Bible says, is to better than to sacrifice. Don't try to predetermine or rubber stamp what God might say to you. Don't try to make God fit into your mold. We know that God does not fit into our mold. God is God. clearly express your problem. Put it in writing. Or talk to God audibly in your closet. I encouraged a grandson this past week. I don't know if he's done it yet or not. I'm gonna ask him. He would like to change. He doesn't like the person he is becoming. And I told him, I said, take a piece of paper and put down, I want to be a better person. I said, on one side, put down, I will. On the other side, put, I will not. Put it on paper. It's like a contract with yourself. Put it on paper so it's in writing. And I think that's helpful sometimes. If we put it in writing so that we can see it and say, this is what I have promised to do or not to do. Put it in writing. I think that helps to make things clearer sometimes. When we can see it there, we can read it. Say, this is what I promised to do. Sometimes our answer comes when we do that. Be sure that you really have a problem. In the heat of the battle, we'd say, yes, God, I have a problem. But sometimes when we stand back and look at it and say, no, I really didn't have a problem. Be sure you have a problem. Sometimes our problem is that we worry too much. Some problems are not worth having. Just pass it off. Say, God, this is yours. It's not mine. This is yours. Some things that we worry about are not for us to worry about. That's God's problem. Is it really your problem? Or is it a borrowed problem? People sometimes do that. It seems like some people are easy to unload upon. They listen, and then those people worry about the things that have been unloaded on them. It's not your problem. Don't take what is not yours. Don't take that and worry about it. Search for some Bible principles, just as we've done here this evening. Look for some Bible examples. Look for biblical principles that apply. And I would say there are probably some in most, if not all, situations. There are some Bible principles that we can follow so that we don't have to bear that burden on ourselves, on our own. Be sure there is no sin or disobedience involved. I think there's times when God says, there's a wall here. You need to take care of this before I can be of help to you. Psalm 66:18 says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. I think that is very true. Sin blocks us from God, not being faithful to what we already know while asking for more understanding. You could apply that to a parent-child relationship or other thing. Broken fellowship between us and God prevents God from answering. Sometimes our problem is that we know the answer, but we are unwilling to act upon it. We might all raise our hands and say, yeah, been there, done that. We come to God and say, God, you know, in essence, we're wanting God to change it when we really know what we should do. In essence, we're trying to find another way around and still have God's blessing, and it doesn't work that way. Seek godly counsel. And in this, I would want to add some cautions here. Don't go to only those who you know will agree with you. You can, but don't count too heavily upon a person like that's advice. And don't seek too many answers. Don't go to a lot of different people and then you can say, well, this person, then we choose the answer that we want to hear. That's not the way to take care of it either. I would advise, I said, don't go to those who will agree with you. Go to somebody who may have gone through something similar. They can look at that then from the other side and look at your situation and be able to give some some good advice. Others have gone through similar things. We are not the only ones that face what you might be facing. There's no problem that is new. The uninvolved can many times see the situation much clearer than what we can. Don't act until you have to, or until you have clear direction. Often we don't have answers because we don't need them yet. We're looking too far ahead. And say, God, what if this happens? What if we're not there yet? God gives us living grace. And when the time is necessary, God gives us dying grace as well. So don't borrow a problem that's still way out in the future. I think the expression is something like, don't worry because you have nothing to worry about today. Don't worry about that. Yeah, we do silly things like that sometimes. Many situations will take care of themselves or provide their own answers. Let time do its work as well, and not rush into things that we don't even have to address at this point. Expect God to give you direction. Don't say, well, I knew God wouldn't answer the way I wanted it to be. Expect God to give you an answer. And He will. There's numerous times that has been happening, that has happened in my life when, in pulling an oversized load, you don't want to make a wrong turn. You can't just turn around at the next driveway and go back. So I've often been looking for a road, and I'm looking intently ahead. Where is this road at, or this driveway, or this lane that I need to turn into? And often it has happened to me that a vehicle will pull out, and I say, oh, that's where I need to turn, right up there. That has happened to me so many, many times. Expect God to give you an answer. Move on. Don't let the problem stop you, if that is a possibility. Don't let a certain situation just block you or stop you. As much as a problem may weigh us down and cause us some anxiety, there is more to life than that particular problem. That is very, very true. This verse that we read here, I'm going to read it again. Proverbs 3:6, in all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. This is true. This is something that we can rely on. Something that will help us in many, if not all, of life's situations. The Living Bible says, in everything you do, put God first, and He will direct you and crown your efforts with success. That's all I have to share. Did you want me to dismiss, Dana? Does anyone have anything that they would like to add or share?
I think that stood out to me is the one you talk about being willing.
What?
Sometimes we look for answers, but I'm really not willing.
Yes, that's true. And sometimes, oftentimes, it's not easy. I had a situation this past week. I have a friend by the name of Jacob. I've known for probably 12 or 15 years. We'd be here for another hour to tell you all that goes into this situation, but Jacob is not a Christian. He believes in God, but he doesn't walk the walk of a Christian. He's very persuasive, very pushy at times, likes to have things done the way he wants it done. He had asked me, He had two trailer parks over in the La Porte, Burns Harbor area. He sold the one park. Then he was going to take four homes out of that park and put them into his other park. And he wanted me to do that. I've worked for him numerous times. Jacob loves to fight. Sometimes, literally. A couple years ago, there was a guy who tried to kill him with a lead pipe. Jacob loves to fight. He likes a good argument. He wears a body camera most of the time just to prove his point. So he has evidence of who said what. This is kind of the guy that Jacob is. Very ambitious man. He wanted me to move these homes. And I, knowing him and knowing the situation, I know that, especially in this situation, knowing Jacob, I figured probably the new owner to that park probably was not aware of what Jacob wanted to do. And it's not a very big park. And to take four homes out, a good chunk of lot rent that new owner was not going to have. And so I guessed right. The new owner was not aware until right up to the last almost days or so. And he wanted me to move these houses. And I was planning to. In fact, I have the permits at home yet. I had planned to move these. And I had from the very beginning, I told Jacob, I said, now, because I know Jacob, I said, now, I don't want to get involved in a lot of drama here. Oh, no, you won't. Everything will be okay. Well, it came down to just the last few days. Everything was not okay. There was drama involved. And I had finally called him. The city of Burns Harbor wanted to permit the county of Porter County, I think. They wanted to permit. The city wanted a workman's comp provision, which I don't carry. I'm the only employee in my company, or an exemption from workman's comp. And a lot of this stuff I didn't have. I've moved homes in and out of that park before and never had any problems. But there was a list of like five different requirements. And I called him. I said, Jacob, I'm out. Oh, no, you can't. I'm planning on you to move these. This was supposed to be last Wednesday and Thursday. And he talked me back into it. I had talked with Mamie and talked with a couple other people. They said, don't do it. Yeah, problems. And then he talked me back into it. I said, okay, I'll do it. I'll continue on. I'll try to meet these requirements. And then the last straw was the workman's comp issue. And I got the form, and you had to fill this form out and mail it. There was no provision for fax or email. You had to mail it to the state of Indiana. I called Jacob again. I said, Jacob, I'm out. No, you can't. I said, this thing here, I said, this is going to be, I have to fill this out, mail it in. And you can imagine the state of Indiana is going to have to mail that back. And I don't know how long that will take them. I said, I'm out. Oh, you're putting me in a bind. I reminded him, Jacob, I told you in the very beginning, I don't want to get involved in a lot of drama. I said, I'm out. He hasn't talked to me since. So I'm not sure what the outcome will be. The other thing I told him, I talked to one of the city officials. I talked to the new owner. And I had told Jacob earlier, because I have come into this situation before. I said, if there's a sticker on that house, they put stickers on them forbidding you to move them because of some situation that's not taken care of. I said, if there's a sticker on that house, I'm not going to move it. Oh, no, there won't be. When I talked to the new owner Friday, I think I talked to him. He said, there's a sticker on every one of those houses. Problems. Sometimes we have to follow our gut instincts, even though it's not what the other person wants to hear or do. Yeah. Follow biblical examples. Talk to God. He'll take care of things. Let's stand for prayer. Father, I thank you for this day, a day of rest and worship. Thank you for the nice sunshine for this afternoon. We pray and ask, Lord, you would be with us throughout this week as we face difficulties in life, and we all do. Help us to not lean upon our own understanding, but to acknowledge you and to look to you for guidance and wisdom and understanding. Just as many years ago, when people did not understand, but they knew that a white man would come with a book, Lord, we know that you will take care of us. You do not let your children hang out in the middle of nowhere, so to speak. Thank you for that. Thank you for your promises and for your provisions. Bless us now. Watch over us as we go home. Be with each of us as we face the new week. May your name be honored and glorified in our lives. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You're just